Hey, D&D fam. I'm Quick.
And I'm Lee. And you're listening to
Divas and Duckets. So what is a diva? I think divas get a bad rep. But to me, diva is all about the attitude.
As for ducats, it's your finances, your assets, Skrilla, guap, your coin. We're talking all things with the potential to affect your pockets.
And while we're attorneys by trade, we are divas by choice. Divas and Duckets is for edutainment purposes.
Y'all, we are not Series 511 or 703 professionals. This does not create a financial advisor or attorney-client relationship. The views expressed here are solely our opinions and the opinions of our guests.
It's just our opinion, y'all. Okay, divas, let's talk Duckets.
Hi, guys.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Lee. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
I am doing good. Been doing a lot of traveling back and forth to home with this break that we're having with COVID, if you want to call it that.
But yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Been burning up the road.
Hey, got to do what you got to do. So, D&D fam, welcome back. We're glad you're here. We hope you have been coping okay with this stay-at-home that's in place through about mid-May, and hopefully you're staying home and being safe, and we have missed you and are looking forward to a topic that we hope you enjoy. We have a full docket today, so let's get into it. First up on our docket, we wanted to recognize our Boss Bae for the episode. As you all know, our Boss Bae is a small business or member in the local or North Carolina community who is doing their thing. And we wanted to highlight this time a small business owner because we know small businesses especially have been impacted with everything going on with the COVID-19 closures. And so this episode's Boss Bae is Mr. Ralph Duncan. He is the owner of Mr. Clean Concrete. His specialty is home improvement. So he does retaining walls, trees, fences, driveways, decks, bathroom remodel, floors, you name it.
All
right. And he is in the ministry. He is a man of the cloth. And in his spare time, he enjoys being with his family and his grandchildren. We will have his information on our episode description, but he can also be reached via phone. If you have any home improvement needs, his number is 704-606-6404. Again, 704-606-6404. So we just wanted to highlight Mr. Duncan. So, hey, bae. All right. So for the main event,
let's get into it. Yes. So our diva docket, on the diva docket, our topic today is going to be just man up. Men and the stigma on seeking help.
Yes.
And we were not about to try to tackle this on our own. We wanted to bring in an expert male therapist to be able to talk about this. Very sensitive topic, very, you know, impactful and emotional topic, things that sometimes we just don't want to talk about. Of course, you know, that there's just this stigma specifically in the African-American male community, but just men in general on their stigma on seeking help. So we just wanted to dive into that. So today we have Todd Malloy.
All right.
Hello.
How are you?
Quite well, thank you.
So he is the therapist of Inner Peace Counseling Center. He is also a lecturer, producer, and author. He has he produces the Man Cave Conversations. You can find that on Instagram at Man Cave Conversations. And of course, as always, we'll have all the information that I'm about to talk about in our show notes. And then we'll also have it posted on our Instagram and on Facebook. But Todd is a bold and innovative thinker who delivers solutions for the big issues of life in a very inspiring way. Todd Malloy is a very rare individual. As a marriage and family therapist, he is a certified sexuality educator. Like I said, he is a lecturer, producer, and an author. Todd tackles some of the most complex problems of our time. Todd got his Bachelor's of Science from University of North Carolina at Charlotte. Then he went on to get his master's at Pfeiffer University, and he has his advanced postgraduate studies from the University of Michigan. He has several certifications. Like I said, he is a certified sexuality educator, a certified sex therapist. He is a licensed marriage and family therapist. He is on the board of directors of the AASCCT, and he is an AAMFT member.
Ooh, you know all these acronyms.
Too much to us, Todd. Tell us what
down
is that?
I'm a nerd. I can't help it.
All right.
I love it. High achieving, and he can help you with your issues.
All right.
He is a founder and clinical director, like I said, of the Inner Peace Counseling Center. He's a co-author of A Time to Rise. He is a Trailblazer Award recipient from the Pfeiffer University. And he is also a weekly radio guest speaker. You can find him on V101.9, Love and Consequences. And he is he works with the Janine Davis staff membership. So let's welcome Tom
Yes,
Lloyd.
Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate being here.
Oh, we are so glad you are here, Todd. And tell us about Man Cave Conversation. Of course, I've been privileged to listen to it and see it, but tell us a little bit more about Man Cave Conversations.
Well, Man Cave Conversations is really an opportunity for men to kind of share their voices. Mm-hmm. Men talk differently when we're amongst ourselves than with women in the room.
Right.
There's no need to posture, no need to have a big chest,
yeah,
because we all recognize what the real situation is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but I get to dispel myths. You know, we're taught to have this bravado. We're taught to have a whole lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's not always true.
Right.
We walk in the misnomer, which in turn creates challenges within relationships, within oneself, accept self-acceptance, etc. So this is my opportunity where to come and really just give real truth,
right,
science, and mm-hmm, make normalize some of the stresses and pain that men have, and allow men of varying generations kind of talk and move forward in a healthier way.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, especially the different generations, right? So the younger can learn from the older, and
mm-hmm,
correct,
you know, even
correct,
the older can get some information about what the younger generations are dealing with, because it's,
yeah,
you know, in this society,
mm-hmm,
you know, our 70-year-old grandparents, they didn't deal with these 20-year-olds.
Exactly.
With,
yeah.
So
exactly.
I love the Man Cave Conversation. So if you have not had a chance to check it out, please go to his IG, mm-hmm, Man Cave Conversations, and check that out. So let's get into it.
Thank you.
So I know for us as women, we tend to chat and, you know, we have our select friends, of course, but we talk about everything, our feelings, mm-hmm, and we cry on each other's shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess from a man's perspective, like, what does emotional release look like when men friends get together, or what kind of thing do you all feel as comfortable maybe talking or sharing?
It goes against
what we've been raised to do.
Okay.
You know, women are sugar and spice and everything nice.
Mm.
You know, we're rough, rugged, and rude.
Okay.
You know,
I like it.
You know, Beyonce says she wants a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
What is it? MC Light said, I want a roughneck.
Right.
So
I used to say I wanted a sophisticated bug. I don't think it is.
Exactly. And then it took Big Daddy Kane to say, well, I'm subtle and smooth, you won't disapprove. So you had to switch it up a little bit, because every man is not the same.
Yeah.
So, but because of the stereotypes, the stigmas that we can't be weak, that men compete,
mm,
that we tend to perpetuate the falsehood. We tend to not want to share our weaknesses,
mm-hmm,
because that makes you look better.
Mm.
Even if you talk to your partner, you know, you have a female partner and you share, hey, I had a bad day at work, and,
mm-hmm,
you know, man can't come home crying because his boss made him mad.
At least not 2 days in a row.
Exactly. It doesn't,
wow,
it doesn't come across well, but a female can come home
every
and cry
day,
and do all of these things,
yeah,
and that's acceptable.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how do we maintain a persona but still feel like we'll be respected? Because,
mm,
once you've lost respect in a relationship, what do you have?
Right. Mm. So can you not download even with each other though when you...
It depends. You know, when we're all, you know, in a cigar bar, we're smoking cigars, drink a little scotch, you might expand the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But we really don't typically come and say, hey, this is really what's going on.
You don't really get into it.
Right. We really don't dig. We don't
dig
real deep.
Yeah.
We'll talk about sports. We'll know everything,
mm,
you can think of about sports.
Yeah.
There's certain topics. We can tell you any and everything about our profession,
mm-hmm,
what we do, what excites us about what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about our sexual prowess, whether it's true or not. We'll talk about all of these things. But we won't, you know, I happen to, because I do what I do, most of the guys I hang out know what I do.
Right.
We'll talk about things that are outside of the norm, because they figure, hey, doc,
mm-hmm,
tell me about this. So,
mm-hmm,
I'll say, look, man, I'll call people out. I'll say, why are you lying? You ain't hung to your ankles. You ain't hung to your ankles.
Right.
And even if you are, that don't really mean something, because,
you know,
right, it doesn't matter. If you have no skills, what does it matter? You know, so typically we're not taught by society that it's okay. Mm-hmm. I tend to challenge that whenever I can through Man Cave conversations or when mm-hmm. people come into my office.
Mm-hmm.
Because we really, in the type of society that we're in now, it's time for us to define ourselves more so than allowing the they them of the world to tell us who we're supposed to be.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And that probably is very hard for people to do, especially in such a social media centralized world, like being able to define who you are. Like, how do you go into the process of helping a person do that? Or even,
you know, I try not to be biblical, but I'm a Bible boy.
Okay.
So, but, you know, the major prophets all had to answer a question. Who am I? Mm-hmm. They asked God that question. Mm-hmm. And I think it starts for all of us that way. Who am I? Because think about this. Until I know who I am, how can I define for you how to care for me?
Mm.
And if I don't define who I am, I put you in a position to mishandle me.
Right.
So, therefore, I set you up to fail and set myself up to be disappointed. At which point I can define myself. Now I know how to position myself for the best use. Think about this. Your clothes have instructions on how to care for
right.
you.
Right.
Mm.
So unless we do an internal work and really define ourselves for ourselves that resonates best with us, we're setting ourselves up to be disappointed. So by starting with the even simple as answering the question, who am I, begins to set you on a path to really define yourself and really begin to create a standard for you of what's acceptable and what's not on every layer and dimension of your life.
You better freestyle. Mm,
right. That was a word right there. So, and you spoke to like a part of it just being even who you are at the core. So is that one of the main issues you saw and that drove you to want to be a sex therapist, or what were some of the issues you noticed that kind of motivated that?
Well, personally, just growing up, I have a very eclectic life. So just growing up, seeing some of the things that I've seen throughout the course of my life, I recognize how fragile life is.
Mm.
And I really want to be a part of a solution as opposed to perpetuate the problem. Mm-hmm. I was raised by a single female. I had a ninth grade education. My father had a ninth grade education. I'm the first one to graduate from high school, and mm-hmm. all the drama that comes in between. It took me 10 years to get a 4-year degree. You name it, been there, done that.
Right.
So, and I recognize how fragile it is because it only takes not much to get caught up in some things.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I had a perfect innocent life. I just didn't get caught at some things.
Right.
However, but there were friends that did get caught.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so fragile. So now why not be that person to speak life, to lead people through the wilderness? Once you've been through the wilderness, now it's easier to go back and lead other people through to get to the other side.
Right. Mm. So did you, when you went to college, did you know you were, is that what your major was?
No, let's put it this way. When I was 17, I knew exactly what I wanted to be. I wanted to be the therapist that I am now.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I paid my way through high school. So I went to high school because had I stayed in the neighborhood high school, I wouldn't be who I am today. I was afraid that I wouldn't be me.
True.
So I hustled, I grinded, did the things I needed to do to pay to go to school. So when I senior year of high school, they said, hey, what do you want to be? I said, I want to be a therapist. So I go to local medical school, spend the day there. We had a great time, touched all the cadavers. I was all excited, all up front. And I said, intern turns to me and says, what do you want to be? I said, hey, I want to be a therapist. He said, you got 12 more years of school. In that moment, I barely made it through high school trying to pay for it. Where am I going to get money for the next 12 years to be? So I was good at math and science. I had an uncle that was an engineer. I said, let me become an engineer.
Mm.
So I was a miserable engineer for a long time. I graduated from college with a degree I didn't want and graduated and burst out into tears. I said, wow, I'm successful at what I don't want to do.
Wow. That's common.
Preacher to a lot of lawyers.
You know, that's common.
So then I had to learn how to get old enough to give myself permission to say, hey, I can do what I want to do, be what I want to be. If I'm paying bills, I get to make some decisions.
Right.
That is awesome. And I think that alone takes strength, right, to just be able to redirect your path to follow your passion. That just,
you know, it comes a point in life where you get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think that's the point for where most people begin to change.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, hey, I'm on this hamster wheel, and this hamster wheel is boring, it's mundane, I need something different.
Yeah.
And unless you are willing to do something different, you're going to be stuck in that cycle.
Yeah. And do you think, like, some of that, like, people will get into that point where they're, you know, sick and tired but not knowing how to change that trajectory? Does that lead to some of the anxiety and depression?
No doubt. Okay. Think about this. What is life unfulfilled? You know, when we think about anxiety, depression is really internalized anger. Anger that you don't project, you turn inward. Mm-hmm. And it's about having a disappointed life, the they, them in the world that you believe that has gotten in your way. But until you really come into an understanding of who I am and begin to take accountability for who I am and where I want to go, you come to an understanding that no one really has stopped me in my life. Mm-hmm. No, what has really stopped me are the choices and decisions I've made based on how I've allowed people to impact me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So no one has really stopped me, and the only one that truly limits you in life is you.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, we have to stop telling ourselves why we can't do something as opposed to asking how.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about this. How many solutions have we created at the kitchen table? And then we say, yeah, but,
right.
As opposed to how.
Yeah.
Everything can be solved. The question is, will you put in the work?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And do you find yourself that valuable?
Yeah. And I think what resonated in that was that give yourself permission.
I think a lot of times
we don't, or we feel like we're waiting on somebody to tell us it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, like you said, for sure.
Think about that. That's the way we're reared.
Mm-hmm.
As a society, we're reared to be emotionally repressed.
Right.
When you think about
when you're born, when you're a kid,
you're supposed to be seen and not heard. When you get a little older, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. When you get a little older, you got to be politically correct or your socioeconomic situation is challenged.
Yeah.
When does anybody say connect to your own experience, validate your own experience enough to put a voice to it, and that your environment values you enough to make change?
Right.
Now, what we're taught is we have to go along and get along. So too many of us, fake it. You know, we kind of just fake it, maneuver our way through and hope for the best, as opposed to taking charge and ownership and charting the course that you want to establish.
Fake it and never really make it, huh?
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly.
So I want to get into, I know some of your specialty is, sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure if you all watched. I watched this show on BET, Boomerang. So it's the premise is the original movie Boomerang with Eddie Murphy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's based on their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So Eddie Murphy and Halle Berry's character had a daughter, Simone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm forgetting her name. What was Eddie Murphy's girl? She was with Mike Tyson. I don't know why I'm not remembering her name.
Well, everybody knows who you're talking
about. Right. She had a son, Bryson. So one of the shows, he and Simone had broken up because she cheated. And long story short, he was trying to be someone he wasn't in terms of running through women.
Right.
And he started noticing he was having erectile dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to the barbershop and they were just talking about just normal, this girl's thick, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And he tried to bring up the conversation of, he'd been having some trouble. And the guy, they kind of joked and ribbed at him. And so I just kind of wanted to ask you, sexual dysfunction, how is that common, or is how you eat, is that what's tied into libido? Is it a mental thing? What is, from your professional standpoint?
Okay, from a professional standpoint, sex is, it's mind, body, and spirit. It's, it's biological, psychological, biopsychosocial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so the number of factors that can come in to create erectile dysfunction, just the course of life. First of all, erectile dysfunction is normal. And basically, let's explain. Erectile dysfunction is basically not being able to maintain or have an erection to a point where it impacts intercourse, not being able to have intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, throughout the course of a man's life, that will happen. So it's not that it happens. Does it happen consistently is really the issue. There are a number of things that can come into play if there's no emotional connection.
Mm.
Because, again, it's not visual always. It could be it's neck up. So if my mind ain't right, my body won't follow.
Mm.
So what it is that he's not that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
He's more of a relationship person.
Mm-hmm.
So for a while, you can play the game and say, ooh, something's new. But then it's same old. Real talk, if I can be basic for just one
Please
second.
Do.
After a while, you recognize it's all pink.
And you thought I was the one
to
say I just want to take this moment because usually I'm the one to say something off. I'm glad we got a guest.
But after a while, you begin to recognize that. So, okay, what am I really doing here? This is not really fulfilling and satisfying my core needs. So, therefore, if you look at a dual response cycle or the Basan sexual response cycle, it all goes into emotional satisfaction, relationship issues, body image, body type. So mm-hmm. all of those things come into play. Also, eating is very important, particularly as you grow. When you're young, mm-hmm. you know, in your early 20s and below, mm-hmm. you're raging hormones, so you can overcome a whole lot of stuff.
Right.
You ain't thinking, you don't care, it's your body.
You can have a Hennessy and chicken wing diet.
Exactly, mm-hmm. it's all good. Mm-hmm. But as you get older, you know, hormones change, mm-hmm. chemical balances change. Now, mm-hmm. therefore, eating is a very important healthy diet, exercise. Mm-hmm. Smoking comes into play because it kind of restricts your vascular system, can deteriorate your vascular system, blood flow. If you don't have blood flow, vasocongestion, congestion, the plumping of the vulva, erection of the penis, all of those things come into play. You get clogged, just like you get clogged heart arteries, same mm-hmm. things happens in your penis over time. Mm. So, again, eating salmon, like a lot of omega-3, having magnesium, calcium, zinc in your
salmon
diet.
Salmon is good, right?
Say again?
Salmon is good.
It's delicious.
Yeah, salmon's
okay.
a good thing.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, no, I made it a point to have a whole lot of that last
okay.
night. At my age, you got to make sure all the things is lined up just right.
A lot of omega-3s, guys.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. there are a number of factors that come in, exercise, things of that nature, because, again, stamina, mm-hmm. Breathing, all of those things come into play. So the older you get, the more knowledge you should have about your body, mm-hmm. sexual awareness, because, in truth, we learn more about sex and sexuality, the things we heard, we're really not studying. Because once, if we actually began to study, read the research, understand the body, we have much more exciting sexual lives.
Mm. I thought it was very interesting that you mentioned the emotional component of sexual dysfunction, because I think we commonly hear it about women, like women are emotional,
and
women are emotional,
physical.
But the fact that a man might not even be able to become erect because he's not emotionally attached is
correct. That it also leads to premature ejaculation. The more emotionally connected you are in a relationship, the less likely premature ejaculation happens. Because now it's not about performance. See, now it's not, okay, oh, my God, did she orgasm? You know, is she giving me the right sign, the right look?
Right.
Now I'm caught. I'm engaged in
the feeling,
the scent, the experience. I'm more caught up in the experience. So now I'm having an out-of-body experience that I'm enjoying.
Mm.
But without the emotional connection, my core needs are not being tapped into.
Mm.
And now it's solely about performance.
Interesting.
So when you got into becoming specialized as a sex therapist, like mm-hmm. what issues did you see were around and that you wanted to resolve?
Well, again, you know, sex is a taboo subject.
Yeah.
You know, I spent time in a Pentecostal church and, mm-hmm. you know, two things you couldn't talk about is sex and money. And the two things people want the most, you know, or they made it seem tawdry, they made it seem dirty. But as I did my own biblical study and as I've gone through the course of my own life, it's only tawdry and dirty if you want it to be.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be that.
It doesn't have to be
confines to that. It can be healthy. It could be outstanding. It can be all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then and not just in the church, as a society as a whole, we look down on sex and sexuality mm-hmm. like it's something dirty,
right.
But it isn't. We are sexual beings. There's enough research, there's enough science, and actually biblically you can express shows how we are sexual beings. God doesn't have an issue with sex.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There may be a question about timing,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but sex is not an issue from a biblical perspective. And for those that want to ask me about that, you can call me and I can give you scripture and walk you through the book.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very important because I was listening to a lady. She had got married as a virgin, you know, was just mm-hmm. talking about how the church always made it seem like sex before marriage was so dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't teach you anything else but
Correct.
That. Like, you know, and
Correct.
Then when she got married, she couldn't perform with her husband because she couldn't switch her mind just because she said I
Correct.
Do.
Correct. And, right. and that happens quite often. I have quite a few couples that have not had sex until it was time to be married.
Right.
And it was awkward. I've had mm-hmm. I had a client who was married 6 years before they had penetrative sex.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have sex before marriage. There were a number of issues and concerns.
It might have been. Right. You don't know.
If you've been bred with the mantra sex is bad. What tells you now that you got married, now all of a sudden you hit a switch and everything works?
Right.
That makes no sense.
You don't know your body. You don't know how to teach your partner how to care for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're
right.
Not familiar with your partner's body. Mm-hmm. It creates a myriad of other issues. And I'm not saying everybody just needs to run and be promiscuous.
Right.
But
there
is some awareness. There is some understanding. There's some truth that we also have to implement so we can have healthy
sexual
life.
Like you said,
even
with sexuality dysfunction and like you were talking about earlier with emotion, is being able to know yourself enough to be able to teach somebody else.
Exactly.
This is what pleases me. This is how you can help me when
Correct.
I'm hurting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can I be silly again? So, for example, you know, I am an African American man. I'm a black man.
Yes.
I was
mm-hmm.
black before I became African American, so sometimes I mix them up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But
I'm
always
sorry.
A man.
I'm sorry.
All right.
So it was interesting. I was in my office one day, and an African American woman, very Rubenesque, shapely woman.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I just hate, and her husband was there, I just hate because my husband smacks me on the behind all the time. And I looked at her like, why are you tripping? I said, that's a black man. He can't help himself. You know, that was going on in my mind.
In
my office, I can kind of say what I want to say. But then it dawned on me, but she's real, and then during that same week, I had 15 women say, I do not like my hair pulled or be smacked on the tail.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that's black man one-on-one. Everybody
knows that. Talk to a black man.
It really, really triggered for me. You really have to begin to ask questions, because if you don't teach us how to care for you,
mm-hmm.
we will use an old paradigm in a new script.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't be about you. It'll be about our history.
Mm-hmm.
So really, for
it.
Us to have an experience, we have to teach each other. We have to be open to learning.
Yeah.
I have men that come into relationships that, well, you don't have to teach me anything. I already know everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've never been with me, you don't know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Repeat that, please.
Right.
You don't know. You're a neophyte when it comes to me.
Straight
Neo. And I have to be open. But we're not taught that, because men have to show up and have a certain prowess.
And kind
Women
of peacock.
Have to show up and have a certain sexuality and all of these things, as opposed to saying, hey, let's customize an experience that the only the two of us can have.
And I think there's just as much the woman's fault as it is the man feeling like he has to peacock, because sometimes we'll be like, I had to teach him. He should just know.
Yeah,
exactly. I hear that in my office quite often. Well, he should just know, or she should just know. And I say, well, so you rather set yourself up as a pinata as he guesses. So I said, how much sense does that make?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, he does know other people.
Right.
But if you're like everybody else, why spend time with you
if
nothing's unique or special about you?
Interesting. And speaking on, you know, women or just, you know, partners to men, I know a lot of times words have power. So I know, you know, even in friend groups of mine, we've been guilty of, you know, just man up, just be a man about it.
Don't say that to a man. Please, ladies, don't say that.
So I guess a question that I'm thinking of is, you know, if a man is hurting or that he's going through something, like, what are ways that we as a partner to a man can be more supportive or create those safe spaces that maybe they don't feel?
Well, my thing is, challenge your stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
Why not meet him as a person?
Mm.
And meet him at where his needs are, as opposed to his gender.
Mm.
So, for example, I have a client, a gentleman who was sexually assaulted growing up.
Mm-hmm.
He's married to a woman that had a sister that was sexually assaulted. So when he talks about maybe sexual issues or concerns he has, she calls him a punk.
Mm.
But when her sister wants to talk about her assault, she wants
victim.
To be compassionate.
Right.
So we're not supposed to have emotions. No, we do. And why can't we be human?
Mm-hmm.
More often than not, I teach men, women in general, men also, it's okay to be human.
Mm-hmm.
You can define what manhood and masculinity looks like for you. You don't have to meet somebody else's standard.
Mm-hmm.
And my point is, as I'm introducing myself, me as a male introducing myself to you, the question is, can you receive me for me, or do you want me to fulfill a persona that you got from your father, your uncle, your cousin, your brother? Because if that's what you're looking for, you really don't want me.
And do you find, I know this is just one thing, I have found it to be problematic, but maybe, you know, I'm not an expert. Do you think that whole alpha male, do you think that's like problematic, or maybe it just presents itself problematically? Like, is it the alpha male, or is it the way that it's expressed that is
kind of... First of all, we have to recognize it's a stereotype that's existed since the dawn of time. The caveman, mm-hmm. the John mm-hmm. Wayne, he mm-hmm. knocks a, you know, y'all might not even know who John Wayne is.
We do.
The cowboy.
We do.
He knock horses out. Mm-hmm. He just walk up, see right. a woman, mm-hmm. throw over shoulder, run upstairs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We've perpetuated that as a society. And so some brand of that has been perpetuated throughout society. So, mm-hmm. you know, that whole, as I mentioned before, the soldier, the roughneck, the mm-hmm. rude boy, or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be.
Rude boy.
You know, that's what you want. So, mm-hmm, however, right. and if it doesn't fit that persona,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden a woman looks at you differently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to some degree, I might have forgot the question, so ask me a question.
I was just saying that because even some men will say, I'm an alpha male, you know, just mm-hmm. that peacock and that presence. So is it the term, like, is it the characteristics of the actual, quote, alpha male that's problematic, or is it the way that men are expressing
I think it's
that?
The way, it's the expression.
Okay.
You know, you can be... Think about this. Water. It can mm-hmm. be placid or a tsunami.
Mm.
Both of them are powerful. It's just how they manifest it.
Mm-hmm.
Because water can erode things over time or can just wipe it out in an instant.
Right.
So it's more so the expression. You can be an alpha male all day long, but that doesn't mean that you can't be respectful, courteous, mm-hmm. and so forth. Mm-hmm. However, but when it's time to show that part of you, that lion part of you, you show up in its appropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wisdom. There's an mm-hmm. appropriateness.
Okay.
And you have to gauge that with where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was interesting. A gentleman I'm familiar with used to come home and say, Bustin's up. Hello, your husband's home. and his wife put up with that often.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day she just said, I know who you are. Who
right.
are you trying to convince coming home like that?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Are you not sure about you that you have to over-exemplify yourself
mm.
as opposed to just be who you are and walk in it?
Right.
And I say that all the time when men proclaim to be alpha males. I was like, my father was an alpha male, and I have never once heard him say in the house, I am an alpha male.
No.
Like, you... When you are that, you just are. Like, you don't have to.
When you show up, you show up relevant in each mm-hmm. moment. Yes.
But I think some of that is because, at least societally, it's perceived that if you're not, like, that alpha is the only way to be. So
mm-hmm.
when you think about, and I don't know if there's other, I know I've heard alpha and beta. I'm sure
mm-hmm.
there might
yeah.
be other types.
Right,
I don't
right.
know. But you hear beta, and it's like, excuse my French, but. Beta is kind of compared with or synonymous societally with, like, oh, beta's a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I mean? I think some of that might be some of that pressure of, like, oh, I ain't a bitch, you know?
But if we really think about it, nobody's 100% anything.
Right, mm-hmm. that part.
We all vary on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
The key is about connecting to who you are and exemplifying that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, think about this. Part of my life's goal and mission is to kill the representative.
Because mm-hmm.
if we show up in all alpha and so forth, mm-hmm. we never really know if the person is really accepting me or the representative.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if I actually represent and present who I am in my truest, purest sense,
mm-hmm.
now I know my acceptance is of me.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that offer me? What does that offer the person I'm in relationship with? What type of quality of life does that offer me?
Mm-hmm.
So as we're trying to fit these stereotypes, these personas, we're denying ourselves what's intrinsically available to us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I mean, even that, like, I think that's, like, a huge part of the basis of mental health issues. Like, anxiety and depression is just having to constantly feel like you gotta be
someone
on.
Else.
Right,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Like,
because remember, with social media and everything, everything's projected mm-hmm. out. You have to be this, you have to be this.
Yeah.
If I buy the whatever iPhone, you got i11, iXRS,
right,
whatever.
Right.
But as soon as you buy it, 6 months later,
mm-hmm.
you get a new
yeah.
one. They tell you how inadequate the one you have.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's always telling you you're inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's always telling you
mm-hmm.
that you're not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you begin to define self from within
mm-hmm.
and define yourself based on your terms,
mm-hmm.
you're setting yourself up to always chase after this ever evolving cycle of what manhood looks like. Even as I evolved as a man, you know, first we were knocking our horses, then we were too rough, then we had to carry a man bag to say that, you know, we are, then you all of a sudden you were punk.
Oh, the MERS.
Yeah, you had a man, you know, then you were punk for carrying that. It was just like, so for
right.
me personally, at the midst of being switched all over the place,
mm-hmm.
you know, fortunately, whatever, I've always been a big person.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're big, people always have a perception.
That's
of
true.
Mm-hmm. Have a perception. So I warded off most evil spirits.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, you get swung all over the place of what is it supposed to look like. So mm-hmm. that's for me. That's when I said, well, I tell you what, the Bible don't change. Mm. Let me find out what Bible looks like from a manhood perspective. Mm-hmm. At least that's something I can meet, because if every 10 years I got to become something different,
right.
This is becoming too exhausting.
Yeah, yeah.
So I began to look at the Bible as a standard, or whatever spiritual book you want to look at, as a standard, and then begin to build self through that perspective, and then evolve into who I am based on how I believe I've been called and what right. resonates best with me.
For sure. And so one of the things that was really important for us to get you in here this month, because May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we wanted to, you know, highlight men, because a lot of times people think, but I don't think there's enough spotlight on men in particular because of the various discomforts with being themselves. And we talked about, you know, not being yourself or showing up as someone mm-hmm. else, and that can lead to some of the anxiety, depression.
Correct.
So
no
kind of talk about maybe what you're seeing in terms of, you know, suicide rate or certain mm-hmm. rates of crises amongst, you know, black men, in particular.
Well, we actually don't commit suicide as much as
Everyone else. Okay.
Right, because I think personally, because of the stressors and pressures that we've lived with since we've been here, kind of gives us a resilience and a coping skill.
Okay.
However, we're probably somewhere to the tune of 1/3 of what other men are, Caucasian men.
Mm-hmm.
And women are probably, we're 4 times as high as women. Women are probably 2 points, we're at 11 points per thousand.
Okay.
Whereas Caucasian men are at 30.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
However, but we do suffer of stress, anxiety, shows up different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things when you were talking, it first came to mind is something was taught to me many years ago. I said, do you know what the difference between a man and a boy is?
Mm.
A man knows when to ask for help.
Mm.
It has to come a point where we have to recognize that we're struggling and ask for help, because even from a biblical perspective, it says iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
That means that we have to show our vulnerability. We have to show our weakness. Mm-hmm. But you're going somewhere with some wise counsel. Somebody has some sense
mm-hmm.
to help build you, to restore you, to not give you information, but clear the pathway for you to come into your own truth mm-hmm. and then walk in the security of you. But it's a necessity in order to make it. Why is it okay to ask for help when you want to start a business?
Mm.
But it's not okay to ask for help when I want to be able to live long enough to have a business.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And how do you begin to normalize those conversations if you guys aren't talking about it? Like, if you don't have that person because every woman, we've got mm-hmm. tons of people we can go to.
You straight like, up said, girl, I'm struggling.
Yeah. Just feeling like therapy is okay, because of course still in our community it's a stigma. Like when I told my family, I was going to therapy, it was like,
oh, you crazy?
You better go to church. So, but you know, and I'm sure exactly. It's even worse for a guy. At least I could go to my family and mm-hmm. say that. I can't mm-hmm. imagine the impact the male would have if he told his family the same thing. Like,
one of the things is that you go to elders. One of the benefits that I've had is I've had men in my life that I could talk to. Some I met through the church, some are just older than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm 57, so I typically, if I need wisdom, I'm not going to somebody 57.
Right.
You need to be in the 80s.
Okay.
Because you've been there, done that, so that's you can really give me some insight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really to find someone, an elder, that you can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had man cave conversations, we had 3 generations of men there. I think the youngest, he didn't really contribute, but the youngest was 9. But from 16, from 16 to 80,
yeah.
And it was interesting how, you know, the young men were hyped and all of these mm-hmm. things and the sex and so forth. And the 78-year-old dude said, yeah, sex for me is turning on some music, dance with my wife, and we fall asleep. He said, for me to lay with an 18-year-old woman is going to kill me. And we talked about erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
We talked about anxiety associated to stress and life pressures and all of these different things. But that was a unique forum.
Right.
Now,
right.
We do pigeonhole it. You'll meet an elder. You find somebody at church. You'll find an older uncle or somebody that you can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But on the larger schemes, it's not there. And it's time to make that change.
It is.
Life would be better. Because think about this. As strong as the man is, how much stronger would the relationship be? How much stronger would the family be? Mm-hmm. A man is a pillar of society.
Mm-hmm.
Not the only pillar, but a pillar.
Mm-hmm.
So when that pillar is strong, it has a rippling effect throughout all the other dimensions of life and everything that he touches.
Mm-hmm. You don't hear nothing else that Ty's saying. That's like...
Yeah.
It's so impactful.
And I think you were saying something earlier. We were just discussing, like, you know, talking about sexuality, especially amongst, you know, kids when they start kind of getting curious. But I think that can actually help with what we were talking about normalizing is kind of maybe reach people where they are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Melinda, it was
your
baby.
I did. With children, you know, because you were earlier talking about, you know, molestation and stuff with children. Of course, the suicide rate is starting to increase in younger kids. How do you go about when is soon too soon? And is that such a thing? And how do you begin to have those conversations with your child?
Well, I don't know if there's such a thing as too soon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's actually a certain time. I think as you make information aware, as they become curious, what you do is they're starting to talk to you. You may ask questions. Hey, I was, you know, when my children were younger, on the school buses, my oldest rode the school bus, and I heard on the school bus that they were having sex on the bus, and they had different bands and different colors, and the colors would tell what they do.
Right,
I remember that. So I came home and said, hey, what you know about this? He said, oh, yeah, well, people do stuff on the bus. So what you think? I don't think nothing. But why don't you think nothing? Because I'm focused on Nintendo. I said, okay.
Oh.
But then when he got older, and he said, Daddy, this girl said I'm going to be her baby's daddy. What that mean?
Wow.
I said, that mean you ain't. But then that opened the door to have that
conversation.
What it is that we're staying connected with our children. We're making ourselves aware. If they like a particular song, we're listening to the song, and why is it provocative to you? Why is it of interest to you?
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin to have that. When my daughter and Nicki Minaj and Carmen, and you know, she's saying all these things, and she want a T-shirt with the middle finger up, and I said, so okay, well, talk to me about why is this of interest to you? And then you meet that child where they are. So as opposed to just trying to dump information on them, what it is, you meet them where they are and you give them the information that's appropriate to the time of the question or the conversation.
Yeah.
And I really got that. I mean, obviously it makes sense when I got in grad school and they taught you the same thing, but my mother did the same thing.
Mm.
Not mine. You know, as a kid, you know, we were taught, don't be ashamed of your body. You could walk around the house naked. We had life cycle books as kids, and my mother went through and told us about the books and so forth, you know.
But I'm sure, in your experience, your mother was very unique.
Oh, yeah, that's very unique.
Yeah.
You know, my mother was the one that said, Todd, you should be a player. Don't be, she said, you know, I was 17 and I was liking somebody. She said, how you know if it's good if you ain't never been with nobody else?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mom.
I said, Mama, you got a point. You know, however, but you're learning through the process. But it's to have those conversations, to have those childhoods in age-appropriate times and give them the relevant information at the time as opposed to sit down. Because sometimes I had a client, daughter's 14, son 16. They did not want to have the conversation.
Mm.
So why are you going to force somebody? They're obviously not ready.
Yeah.
So you wait till they're ready because they will have it. You give them some general information. Hey, if this is something you're interested in, we need to talk to you about protecting yourself, not, you know, all of these different things. But hey, when you're ready, you come on, talk to me. But you create an opportunity where it's an open communication as opposed to stigmatizing it.
Yeah.
And it'll work. It's not that
complex.
And I
think it's often, especially, I'm sure girls do it too, but, you know, like with boys, being in, you know, DSS, dealing with those kind of cases, we also had to hear about, you know, children like touching themselves and then wondering, like, was it a line of a parent trying to touch them or just a child being curious, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And our instant reactions is always to, like, pop a child or make them feel bad about,
Shame.
Know, touching themselves, but they're like, they're a child. Like, the same way they learn to play with their feet and their hair, they find a new body part.
Exactly. You know, I always say your private parts are not supposed to be private to you.
That's a good point.
You know,
children and adults.
Right. Children and adults. Our private parts are not supposed to be private.
Right.
You should understand what, you know, here it is in my office. I'm teaching women over 40 about their vulva.
Right.
And they've actually never taken a mirror
and looked at it.
So I got charts and all of these different things.
Mm-hmm.
We should know about our bodies. Okay, men, they look at their bodies and they say, okay, I got something hanging. But do you really understand what's going on, where
right.
the sensitive areas are, where mm-hmm. you may want to tell your partner where to spend a little more time because
mm-hmm.
it's a little more sensitive, a little
mm-hmm.
more erotic for you.
No, they don't know.
But by self-pleasuring, spending time with yourself, you're able to figure all of these things out.
Mm-hmm. I am going to save this question about finances and men just for our Dear Diva segment,
okay.
just because I feel like it might be a good tie-in. So, and we're going to get, actually, do you want to share with our listeners where they can find you? Are you on Instagram or?
Well, yes, you can find me at innerpeace_CC on Instagram. You can find me at mancaveconversations.com. You can find me at innerpeacecountingcenter.com and at 704-937-2286. And also on Facebook, what is it, Facebook?
Yeah.
Yes.
Facebook. And Inner Peace Counting Center on Facebook.
And we will have all this information on the show notes
mm-hmm.
on Instagram. He will, of course, have his feature on there, and you'll be able to find him on Facebook. So we will definitely make sure that you can get in touch with Todd.
Thank yes. you so very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. And so now it is time for our segment we call Dear Diva. We love to hear from you all. So if you have any questions, you need advice, you want to hear from us, you can email us at divaadvice@gmail.com. So this episode's letter, it starts, "What's up, ladies? My girl and I have been together for a year and a half. We've been talking about where things are going," as she puts it. Uh-oh. "I don't want her to feel like I'm wasting her time or BSing her. I do love her and I see my future with her, but I want to be in a certain financial space before I ask her. I'd like to earn more and maybe own a home and have more to offer her. I try to explain this to her, but we always end up going in circles with me saying what I need to feel like a man with something to show for himself and her saying we can build together. Is there something I can say or do to make her feel like I'm in this for the long haul with her, but understand where I'm coming from? Sincerely, Anonymous."
So that's a question for me?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
there are two sides to that.
Mm-hmm.
We all have standards.
Okay.
We all have standards that we have to meet for ourselves, and I think that's where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain financial position that he wants to be in because he may tie his own sense of identity, his own masculinity to that.
Mm-hmm.
However, just as she should be open to hear that, she may not always agree with it, but
mm-hmm.
she has to be able to see that there is a logic. But the challenge for that I would give him is, can he be open to her perspective? Hey, this coming together is about
mm-hmm.
us building together as a team. So I understand where you're at. I understand your hustle and your grind,
mm-hmm.
but that should not be a factor in us coming together and
mm-hmm.
building together. Why
mm-hmm.
can't you do that collaboratively? Why can't we do that at the same time?
Mm-hmmm.
Why does it have to? Why are you? What I was going to say, what is life deferred,
mm-hmm.
not living now?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you going to defer what we could be doing and how we can be growing together for you to function in an idealistic mindset when you're trying to be a couple?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is life deferred
mm-hmm.
when you are trying to live now?
Did that.
It does. So I know mm-hmm. one of the things we wanted to talk about was, you know, mental health and that whole provider.
Remember, even Steve Harvey says you have to provide, profess, and protect.
Mm-hmm.
So as a man, if you're not a provider, you know, think about this. Let's real talk.
Okay. Real talk.
When a black man loses a job, you come home and say, "Baby, I lost my job."
Mm.
You go, mm-hmm. You know, no man in America want to hear that, mm-hmm. It's like a kiss of death. Because all you hear is you ain't no good,
mm.
you ain't nothing. When you going to get some money? Because your mind got better because you were supposed to be a provider.
Mm.
That goes to the very character and heart of who he is.
Mm. But is provision just money?
Right. However, think about this. But a dude that has money, he could be ugly, he could be whatever.
He can be
But
ugly.
He going to be walking with somebody.
Mm. Mm.
Right.
Okay.
It's a big factor of it. Now, it shouldn't be the sum total of it, but we're not talking about the reality of it. We're talking about the from a societal
mm-hmm.
perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would say, and I see that. I think I can receive that, but I'm not a man, so I don't experience that. So certainly, if I lost my job, I don't feel I would feel a way, but I don't think I would feel the same way a man would.
No, because again, it's to a certain degree, from a man's perspective, it's all on me. I got to figure out, I got to make it happen. Mm-hmm. There comes an associated stress pressure. I'm looked at, you know, it's like a Mr. Mom. You know, your wife works, but you stay at home. Society don't look at you as a whole man. They challenge that. Now, they shouldn't as a society, but it is. So you have to be able to be comfortable and secure enough within yourself to overcome that and still present and project yourself as you should.
And to that I would say, and I'm going to let Quick give her own opinion on this letter and all of that, but so I would say I think that a lot of times we go in circles because we're saying the same thing and you end up just knocking. So I would almost, just as you're saying, telling him to be open to what she's saying, I guess I would also say one of the things maybe she could ask him is, okay, in what ways can I help facilitate that? Okay, you want to feel like you make more. What does that look like? Making more. That's so general. So, you know, Devo, you wrote in, and it's just like, okay, whatever you make now, is there a plan for what more it looks like? Is that a specific number? Is that a, did you create, I guess, what we call SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time-oriented? So, okay, I'm just going to give numbers. If you make 30,000 and you want to make 50, are you looking for certain jobs or doing certain training to put yourself in that position? I'm just saying, you can run into
because I believe that there should be a dialogue. So all of what you're saying is great, and that's what I'm saying for him to be open. But I was listening to you and how you're presenting it, and that's how women talk. But as a man, you under fire. It's like rapid fire. I haven't answered the first question. Now I'm under duress.
He likes smart goals.
Instantly with everybody, the guard goes up. Wall. Yeah. So we can't have a conversation because now I'm under attack.
Okay, and that's fair. I just think that's something for him to think about. I'm not his woman, so you don't have to answer me.
I'm telling you, even if he's listening to the show, he's like, I ain't going to the Inquisition. I'm under interrogation.
Right. This is my proposal.
You know, but I do believe it should be a conversation. Some of those questions can be asked, but slowly.
Okay.
Ask a question and actually let there be a response.
Okay. Stop at the S. I was just telling you what SMART goals stood for.
You know,
Start at the S.
You went into your corporate training and all of this. I heard all of that.
I wanted to define it for you, you know. So, yes, stop at the S, sis. Just, is it specific? What's your goal? And just move down to the M.
But see, it was attack mode as opposed to conversation.
That was not the intent, but I understand that the impact.
It's more so take the position of inquiry.
Right.
Hey, help me understand your perspective. Why is that important to you? Why is that significant to you? But recognizing when you take that approach, this is how the rippling effect that it has on us, on me as a person, on us, our relationship, how does that play into it? So if you take more of a position of inquiry to pull information out, as opposed to, the conversation will go a lot better.
Okay. And now I will say to him, as a woman, one of the things that, because we are just fine with you giving us all the information, we want the information, maybe telling her just that, like, I do, you know, intend, these are my intentions, and I'm not wasting your time, because a lot of times men will talk, but they don't say specifically, you know, it's almost like they talk around something sometimes. So maybe if you haven't said those words to her, like, baby, this is what I want, this is how I feel about you, you might need to let her know that.
Well, you know, I'm having fun, by the way. This is great. So a couple of things come into play. You can't script people's conversation.
Okay.
Number one. And I hear a lot of women want that. Well, he could have said it this way. Well, we don't. You won't let him script your language. Why is it okay for you to script his? But if you just ask, hey, help me understand what that means. For example, I said the other night, I probably shouldn't say me. I'm going to say somebody else said.
Oh, somebody said.
Okay. Somebody else said, hey, you know, wow, you know, the things that we've had, I don't want you to share with anybody else. And a woman would look at you and say, there is nobody else. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
And she said, so what are you saying? I said, you're my gift. And when I see you, I want it all for myself. So it's not about you being with other people. Mm-hmm. It's about how I feel about you.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to ask the question. Because she got all twisted and her face was looking all funny.
Like ours is looking right now. Like,
what does that mean? What is
that? Yeah, no, but what it is that, wow. I really understand that you're a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And this is special and precious to me. So now I have a work to do to maintain that and protect it.
Mm-hmm.
Such that it's offered to me as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to take the position of inquiry, because if you take what's initially said, you're going to take your perception, not the other person's truth.
Mm-hmm.
And your perception is not the other person's truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, secondly, is that irrespective of two people, let's say, coming from a same culture or whatever, mm-hmm. same country, we speak different languages. Mm-hmm. Why? Because a person that is in one house doesn't, what's funny in one house isn't funny mm-hmm. in the other. A facial expression in one house doesn't have the same meaning as a facial expression at the other house.
Mm-hmm.
So a joke at one house isn't funny, facial tones of voice, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, actually, when people come together, one person speaks Chinese, the other person speaks Spanish. Even though the Spanish person understands a little Chinese, the Chinese person understands a little Spanish, sometimes there's no direct translation between languages.
Mm-hmm.
So unless we slow down and take the position of inquiry, will we actually truly understand what each other is saying?
Mm-hmm.
Too oftentimes, someone says something, we process it through the jaded filters of our brain, we give an output,
mm-hmm.
but we're not slowing down to say, so what I'm hearing you say is, to mm-hmm. verify that we're actually having the same conversation,
mm-hmm.
until we actually slow down to really connect and make sure that what I'm hearing is actually what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
we will consistently have the dysfunctions in communication.
Mm-hmm. So then, I guess without scripting his conversation, how does he communicate to her that he's not wasting her time? Because that's
because
what
he just
saying.
Said it. He just said it.
Okay, so
he just said, "I'm not wasting your time. Okay. I'm vested."
All right. Okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, my opinion, I feel like even in scripting people's conversations, like, we can tell a person, all you had to do was say this.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say it and it's still not in your timeline, you still won't hear it.
Correct.
So,
exactly.
Like, he could have said, I'm not wasting your time, and she wants to be married in 6 months, and
right.
6 months passed. He'd be like, I told you I wasn't wasting your time. And she's like, but I ain't engaged yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, I think sometimes you just have to do the perception. How did you say it? You said his reality.
His truth is not her
yeah.
perception and vice
yeah.
versa.
Mm.
And it's taking the position of inquiry, because, you know, the thing is that by asking a question, taking the position of inquiry, you're pulling out more information. Because remember, we only hear the output of a person. We don't fully understand the underpinning that created
mm-hmm.
the output. So if we begin to question the output, we begin to learn the underpinning.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now I can connect with you. I may not fully agree with you, but I can see the logic.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I can see the logic, I can make a healthy choice on how I want to move forward with you.
Mm-hmm.
But if I just hear your output and I respond to what you said,
mm-hmm.
I may get rid of something that I really want. For example,
mm-hmm.
Couple I worked with, they broke up. You know, they came from out of town. You know, he wanted to be an entrepreneur. She's the MBA, all of the letters, and professional person, works for
financial. She's a stable 9-to-5. Got
right.
you.
So, however, as he's struggling going through business, she was like, well, look, you need to come on, jump on this 9-to-5 plan,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So
mm-hmm.
he's like, no, wait, be patient with me, work with me. Well, mm-hmm. no, we have a daughter now, we got to do all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, hey, they bought a house together, she kicked him out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Kicked him out of the house. Now, he's an outstandingly successful businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's mad at him.
She didn't watch Lifetime. She didn't know
that. No, because he was trying to explain it to you.
Mm-hmm.
However, he didn't fit your paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're only mad because you're mad at yourself. You're not mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
He actually still loves her. He would still like to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
six
what she does is she's looking at him hoping he'll fail, so she doesn't look like
oh.
to her friends, her family, like she made the big mistake.
Child, y'all came up. I understand.
Well,
they still married,
so
y'all,
they're
not married. No.
Okay. You know, so the point is that you have to pull information to really understand the logic mm-hmm. and the underpinning, because he had a plan. It wasn't executed as quickly as he can, but he said, work
mm-hmm.
with me.
Mm-hmm.
But she wanted it to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
She has family. She got friends. Her mother, her fathers are asking her, hey, don't have this man in the house living off you, because you...
Mm-hmm.
And I think for especially... Specifically for that one,
mm-hmm.
the underpinnings of why he wants to have a house before he gets married would be important
yeah.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm pretty sure it's not, I want to have a mortgage that I pay on my own without you. Like, I'm sure that's
because
not
because she would
reason.
Be moving in. Right.
So, right.
Yeah.
So, like, my questions
right.
would delve into, is that a, like, what about that makes you feel like a man? Is it a lot of times men.
But can I share with, don't ask that.
Don't ask them.
What makes you feel, how does that make you feel like a man? No.
That is what I would have said. Help me die.
That was a little aggressive.
I encourage help. Women not to say, man up. How come?
He made the statement. I'm going to follow it up.
Don't do that.
He did say, as a man, this is what I want.
Right. So I mean, because a lot of times men will say, I've never seen it like a successful marriage. So they always hear like the horror stories. Like, man, you better have your own because she'll kick you out. Mm-hmm. You know, like they don't want to move in with the woman that's kind of established to have her own house. They want, like, you know, so I would want to get into the, like, the real reason.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But it's taking the position of why. Keep asking me, help me understand what you're saying, so forth.
Leave that man off of it.
But they have to be... Again, willing to be vulnerable and answer those questions.
But to that point, he's committed. But he's saying he's committed in the relationship. Perhaps. That means I am willing to have the hard dialogue with you. Mm. But the question is now, don't give me rapid fire questions. At least give me a chance to win. Because let's be real, when a man and woman go back and forth, woman's going to win. She's going to win. But if you slow down and give me a chance to communicate, then we can both win.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe she should sit and listen with you as well. That might.
That's what I was about to say. If y'all can't figure out how to get that interim, that Chinese Spanish.
Yeah.
Get a therapist.
Yeah. I call it the Spangies.
Right. Let a therapist help y'all.
All right, y'all. Well, give us some feedback. Let us know what happens. We hope to hear from you. We hope this is a successful union. As we said before, you can write us. You can email Diva Advice. That is DivaAdvice@gmail.com. All right. So now it's time for Quick's Tip.
So my quick tip is just going to be, you know, in this time, in this season of COVID and staying sheltering at home, and then, you know, especially with the things that we were talking about today, if you are having some kind of struggles with anxiety, depression, sexual dysfunction, if you know, just sheltering at home, a lot of people are extroverts, you know, so they really are struggling having to stay at home. You know, domestic violence is rising. It's just a lot of things that are taking place mentally with people having to sit at home. So my quick tips will be, you know, if you have access to telehealth, and, you know, being able to have virtual consultations with the therapist, check
if
your
I can
insurance.
Interject, yeah, insurances of now, because of the COVID situation, have approved virtual, or telehealth is what they call it. But we can do virtual therapy now, things of that nature. I even have clients that have been married 25 years, that's because of the COVID situation, getting a divorce. They just decided they don't like each other.
It's happening for sure. So definitely check your insurance policies. I do know also because of COVID that a lot of insurance they're upping their policies so that some of those services are free. You know, you could have 2 or 3 consultations. So just check your insurance policies. And if not, just Google telehealth, virtual therapy sessions. And we'll also have, some links to hotlines to, on Instagram and on our Facebook pages to be able to, you know, help you kind of maneuver through these issues. So thanks, everyone. Follow us on Instagram at Divas and Duckets. We hope this episode was really helpful for you. Todd, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. This was wonderful. And like you said, we'll have his information in the show notes and on Instagram.
And we are also on Facebook. And you can also check our website out at www.divasandduckets.com. And like we said, thank you for being here. We hope you are coping well. Stay healthy. Read a book. Get some water. And we will see you all next time.
All right. Have a great attitude. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.